ग्रह नक्षत्र भूभृतम् सरित समुद्र द्वीपानाम् संभवश्चैतद् ओकसाम् भूपताल ककुव्योमा ग्रह नक्षत्र भूभृताम् सरित समुद्र द्वीपानाम् संभवश्चैतद् ओकसाम् भूपताल ककुव्योमा ग्रह नक्षत्र भूभृताम् सरित समुद्र द्वीपानाम् संभव चैतद् ओकसाम् Underneath the land, Kakub, the four sides of the heavens, Yoma, the sky, Graha, the planets, Nakshatra, the stars, Bhuvritam, of the hills, Sarit, the river, Samudra, the sea, Dvipanam, of the islands, Sambhava, appearance, Cha, also, Etat, there, Okasam, of the inhabitants. Translation. O best of the Brahmanas, please also describe how the creation of the globes throughout the universe, the four directions of the heavens, the sky, the planets, the stars, the mountains, the rivers, the seas, and the islands, as well as their different kinds of inhabitants, take place. Purport. The inhabitants of different varieties of land, etc., are differently situated, and not all of them are equal in all respects. The inhabitants of the land are different from the inhabitants of the water or the sky. And similarly, the inhabitants of the different planets and the stars in the sky are also different from one another. By the laws of the Lord, no place is vacant, but the creatures of one particular place are different from those of other places. Even in human society, the inhabitants of the jungles or the deserts are different from those of the cities and villages. They are so made according to different qualities of the modes of nature. Such adjustment by the laws of nature is not blind. There's a great plan behind the arrangement. Maharaj Parikshit requests the great sage Sukhdev Goswami to explain all this authoritatively in accordance with proper understanding. ओम कांति विनंदस्य ज्ञानंजना श्लाकया चक्षुमृतम् येन तस्मै श्री गुरुवे नमः श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदा मह्यं तदाति स्वपदामृतं वन्देहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुक्तपदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश శ్రీరూపం సాగ్రజాతం సహగణ రఘునాథం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సవభూతం పరిజన సహితం కృష్ణ చైతన్య దేవం శ్రీరాధా కృష్ణపాదాం సహగణా లలిత శ్రీ విశాఖాంబితం చ హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధు దీనబంధు జగత్పతే గోపేశ గోపికాకాంత రాధాకాంతం నమస్తుతే తతకంచన గౌరంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరీ విషభానుసుతే దేవి ప్రణామి హరి ప్రియే వంచాకల్పతరువైశ కృపాసింధుభైవచ పతితానాం పావనిభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః జై శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార్ శ్రీవాస్ ఆది గౌర భక్తవృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ. సో థ్యాంక్ యూ టు ఆల్ ఆఫ్ యువర్ సెల్ఫ్స్. You all have come for the Bhagavatam class. Thank you for that. Now in this sloka we see the very various things mentioned. The Lord has created the various planets, skies, stars, mountains, rivers, seas, etc. He has created with a plan in mind. The Lord has created the human beings also with a plan in mind. Whatever we see around, there's a great plan behind the arrangement. Whatever we see, there's a great plan of the Lord behind all these arrangements. And can we understand the plan of this Lord directly? No. We can never understand the plan of the Lord directly. We can only understand the plan of the Lord only through Guru, Sadhu and Shastras. And what is the main conclusive statement as per Guru, Sadhu and Shastras? The main conclusive statement as per them is that always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. This is the basic conclusion statement of Guru, Sadhu and Shastras. And a Vaishnav, a true Vaishnav, keeping this principle in mind, a true Vaishnav will extend himself. A true Vaishnav will take up all types of inconvenience so that he can help others remember Krishna. In this regard, Srila Prabhupada, if you see Srila Prabhupada's life, you pick up the Lilamrita and read from anywhere. Srila Prabhupada's whole life has exemplified this principle. Srila Prabhupada took up so much inconvenience. Why? So that he can help others remind themselves of Krishna. In this regard, I'd like to narrate to you a story. This is when Srila Prabhupada, he was in his second half of his life, and Srila Prabhupada, he had left his home and he had gone to Delhi. And Srila Prabhupada, he was trying to print this Back to Godhead. This Back to Godhead, that time it was mainly in the newspaper form. It was a fortnightly issue, and Prabhupada was the whole and soul. Prabhupada would write the articles, he would take it to the press for the proofreading, the printing. Prabhupada would arrange for the paper, and Prabhupada would himself go out in the streets printing and distributing. So Prabhupada, when he was trying to get the BTG printed, he would himself go to the printer. The printing press owner, his name was Surinder Kumar Jain. Prabhupada would walk from the place he was staying to the printing press. Prabhupada would walk just to save money. Prabhupada, he couldn't afford to even take the public transport or whatever transport available. He was trying to save money. He would walk, a person in his second half of his life, he would walk all the way to the printer's place. He would meet Mr. Surinder and he would check the proof. And sometimes he would stay there for very long, sometimes for hours. And then Mr. Surinder would ask Prabhupada that, Prabhupada, have you had your breakfast? And Prabhupada wouldn't have had his breakfast. Then Prabhupada would tell Mr. Surinder that, no, I have not had my breakfast. Then Mr. Surinder, he would arrange for breakfast from his side and give it to Prabhupada. And a lot of bills of Mr. Surinder were pending of the previous printing. And Mr. Sundar would feel embarrassed to ask Prabhupada, because he could see Prabhupada such a pure person, is struggling so much for the well-being of everyone. And Mr. Sundar's, his previous bills would be pending of Prabhupada. And Prabhupada would tell, and Mr. Sundar would be a little embarrassed to ask Prabhupada. So he would try not to ask Prabhupada for that money. And Prabhupada would tell Mr. Sundar that, don't worry, I will pay your bills. And Mr. Sundar knew that Prabhupada didn't even have 25 paisa in his pocket. Mr. Sundar writes in the Lilamit that I knew that Prabhupada didn't even have 25 paisa in his pocket. But somehow Prabhupada would struggle and slowly pay off the bills of Mr. Sundar. And after the Back to Godhead was printed, then Prabhupada would himself take that and go door to door distributing it. A pure Vaishnava, in the heat of the Delhi, the summer is going on. Delhi in summer, it's like, it's like an oven. Prabhupada would go door to door, distributing this, selling this Back to Godhead. Once Prabhupada walked into a well-to-do house, as he was going inside, the owner of the house, he shouted at Prabhupada, "We don't need you, go out, get lost." I'm like, this was the language this owner told Prabhupada, shouted at Prabhupada. Prabhupada just with folded hands just walked out of the house. Prabhupada would go to the different tea stalls, sit there and ask the request the people to buy this magazine. Once Srila Prabhupada, he was doing his Back to Godhead duties, and as he was going, a stray cow from somewhere just came and bit her horn. She, just struck Prabhupada, and Prabhupada fell down. And Prabhupada didn't even have the energy to get up. But still, Prabhupada somehow got up. There was no one to help Prabhupada to get up also. Somehow Prabhupada struggled to get up, and again he started doing his Back to Godhead magazine work, this newspaper work. And then, that time, this Back to Godhead, it cost 6 paisa. But still Prabhupada would struggle to sell it. And then, once Prabhupada was trying to distribute and sell this Back to Godhead, and then he became very giddy and he became half unconscious and he was about to fall down. Then a person who knew Prabhupada, he immediately saw Prabhupada, that he's going to become unconscious. He went and helped Prabhupada and he took Prabhupada to a doctor. The doctor examined Prabhupada and the doctor told Prabhupada that yes, because of the heat in Delhi, it's affecting you. So please take rest for a few days. But where is the question of rest for Prabhupada? Prabhupada still just took a few moments of rest and he again got on his feet to distribute Back to Godhead. Prabhupada, so much struggle he did. Why? So that he could help others remember Krishna. He was very well off and happy in his room in Radha Damodar in Vrindavan. But he took all this inconvenience just to help us remember Krishna. Then, again, when Prabhupada was in his struggling days in Delhi, around a similar time, Prabhupada, he had left home, and in Delhi, Prabhupada was staying in the ashram of Bhakti Sarang Goswami. And Prabhupada, he had no financial soap, nothing. And Bhakti Sarang Goswami, he would regularly take out a Vaishnav journal called Sajana Toshni. And he had made Prabhupada, in one sense, Prabhupada, he was made in charge of this Vaishnav journal, and Prabhupada was made in charge for circulation. So Prabhupada was putting a lot of effort in this Sajana Toshni, this Vaishnav journal. And Prabhupada was staying in the ashram. So Prabhupada thought that, okay, let me go out and meet well-to-do businessmen, meet various government officials, and I'll request them to subscribe for this Vaishnav journal. But Prabhupada's clothes were being torn. Prabhupada didn't have proper clothes to go out. So Prabhupada had to request the authorities that please give me 2 pairs of clothes so that I could go out in a presentable way and present this Sajana Toshni. Prabhupada's clothes were being torn. And then Prabhupada had to make this request for 2 suits of clothes. And this Prabhupada's request had to go through various approvals. Then he got the approvals and he got the 2 pairs of clothes. Now just imagine, Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, the pure Vaishnava from the spiritual world, he has come here just to help us remember Krishna, to help us remind of Krishna. A pure soul like this, he has no say in even for the basic necessity of his life. Two pairs of clothes also. His clothes may be being torn. He had to put up a special request for that. Huh? And then Prabhupada, because of some reason, Prabhupada had to leave this ashram and he was again on the roads. Prabhupada didn't have any place. He just went to some place and then someone gave him a place for a week, told, look, you can stay here a week. Then after a week, that person asked Prabhupada that, no, please, you have to leave my place. Then Prabhupada would go to another place, request them for somewhere, he would stay for 2 weeks, then again 1 week. Like this, Prabhupada had to shift place to place. He had no financial backing, no support. So one time Prabhupada would stay in a Vishnu temple, then Prabhupada had to stay in the Kapoor College of Commerce for some time. Like this, Prabhupada, one place after another place after 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Just struggling. And this chapter, Prabhupada is struggling. No finance backing, no place. But he was just struggling. Why? Just to help remind us of Krishna. And the struggles of Prabhupada in Lilamrita, this chapter is titled Crying Alone in the Wilderness. Huh? What is titled? The chapter is titled Crying Alone in the Wilderness. Really, imagine yourself, just picturize yourself, a person in the second half of his life. No support, no financial support. I'm like struggling for the basic necessities like clothes, shelter. But he's struggling going from door to door just for our benefit, so that we could remember Krishna. When you think of this, you know, it pains the heart, it makes the heart cry. Saying Prabhupada's compassion for us. And Prabhupada's disciples and Prabhupada's grand disciples also, taking this inspiration from Prabhupada, Prabhupada's disciples, grand disciples, they also take up so much inconvenience so that the others can remember Krishna. A modern day example, I would say, this is regarding Paramhans Prabhu, who stays in Mira Road. In the initial days in Nasik, he was going there for preaching. He had no support. He would go alone. And then Paramhans Prabhu, in the Ramkund area, he would just sit with his mridanga and just chant the Mahamantra. Just close his eyes, chant the Mahamantra, begging the holy name, begging the mercy of Guru, Krishna Vaishnava, to be empowered to preach in Nasik. And when he would close his eyes, play the mridanga and just chant the holy name, the passers-by, some would come, some would put 50 paisa in front of him. Some would put 1 rupee in front of him. Some would put 2 rupees in front of him and go away. Like a beggar. But what Paramhans Prabhu would just be immersed in chanting the holy name, begging the holy name, begging Guru and Krishna for the mercy to be empowered to preach in Nasik. People would treat him as like a beggar. And Paramhans Prabhu, he has done his postgraduate from IIT Mumbai. He's from a very respectable family, you know. But what? People are treating him like a beggar. He's taking this inconvenience. Why? So that he could help others remember. He would help others so that he can help others remember Krishna. So this is the compassionate heart of Vaishnavas. They're always in the giving mode. They just want to help others, extend themselves so that they can help others remember Krishna. And another thing is that everyone has given this free will. The Lord has given us the free will. And the Vaishnav, he uses his free will so that he can help others remind of Krishna. And we also are supposed to use our free will to remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. But when sometimes in the practice of devotional service also, we are put in various challenging situations. And these challenging situations could be very disturbing to us. But if we remember one thing, that yes, whatever is happening in the life is per as Krishna's plan, is per as the will of the Lord, then we'll not be disturbed. A classic example, there are many classic examples in the scriptures. One classic example is of Maharaj Parikshit. When he was cursed to die in 7 days, Maharaj Parikshit was the emperor of the world. But when he was cursed by Sringi that you'll be dying in 7 days' time, Maharaj Parikshit, he saw Krishna's hand in this. He saw this as the will of the Lord. And he was not disturbed. And for 7 days he heard the Bhagavatam from Sukhdev Goswami. He perfected his life and went back to the spiritual world. One of Srila Prabhupada's senior disciples, he made a very nice statement. He said, Bhakti is the art of turning curses into blessings. I repeat. Bhakti is the art of turning curses into blessings. But when can we turn curse into blessings? Sorry. Again, when we see Krishna's hand in our life, when we see Krishna's plan, that what is happening is as per Krishna's plan. Obviously, we have to do our best effort. We have to put our best effort in bhakti in whatever we do. And after that, whatever happens in our life, that situation, we have to see it as the plan of the Lord. We have to see Krishna's hand. When we have this understanding, then we will not be disturbed, whatever external condition we are put into. And sometimes in a conditioned state, it is not easy to digest the will of Krishna. Especially when we are in a conditioned state, it's not easy to digest the will of Krishna. For example, say, when we have problem with our digestion, we go to a doctor. And the doctor gives us medicine and helps us to come out of that. And helps us to come out of that health problem and have good health. The same way, when we are having difficulties, when you're having difficulties in digesting Krishna's plan in our life, when you're having difficulties in digesting Krishna's will in our life, then we should go to the spiritual doctor. Who's the spiritual doctor? Spiritual doctor are the senior devotees. When we go to these senior devotees, when we go to the spiritual doctors, they help us digest Krishna's plan and have good spiritual health. There's a difference between the material doctors and the spiritual doctors. Go to a material doctor, first of all you have to pay a heavy fee for his appointment and to get his time, and you have to pay a heavy fee for his consulting fees. But when you go to a spiritual doctor, no fees. In fact, he is open with his open arms. Aye, Prabhuji, come. What is your problem? How can we help you? He himself extends himself. And a material doctor, when you pay the fees, he wants to see that you're out of his cabin as fast as possible so that he can cover more patients, And after you go to the doctor, and when you go for a follow-up with the material doctor, again, you struggle with the appointment and you take an appointment and go to him. But for a spiritual doctor, the devotee, the senior devotee himself will ring you after a few days. Prabhuji, kaise hai aap? How are you? Can I come to your home? He'll himself come. He'll take your appointment. He'll come to your house and he'll bring prasadam also, mahaprasad for you. And then this is the way the spiritual doctor, the senior Vaishnava help us. How fortunate are we that in our lives we have such Vaishnavas in our lives to guide us through our struggles. And when you're talking of Krishna's will, Krishna's plan, in the scriptures, there's another classic example of Vidura. When Vidur, he would always tell Duryodhan and try to rectify Duryodhan for his benefit, for Duryodhan's benefit. But Duryodhan, such crooked-minded, he would never take Vidur's advice. And at one stage, Vidur really told Duryodhan that, please, you rectify yourself, improve your behavior. The way you are doing things, your future will be very dark. And he was quite a little heavy on Duryodhan one day in the palace. Duryodhan got very angry at Vidur. And Duryodhan told Vidur, you immediately leave this palace. You immediately leave this palace. You're fortunate that I'm sparing your life. Then Vidur, he immediately left the palace and he took it as the will of Krishna. He saw Krishna's hand in it. He saw the plan of Krishna. He immediately left. And then he went to all the Tirthas and went to the Tirth. Again, these great souls, anything external, challenging happens to them, they always see it as Krishna's will. They see Krishna's hand in it. And because of that, they're not disturbed in their life. Then, regarding Krishna's plan, Krishna's will, I would like to narrate a personal experience of mine. How Krishna plans things. once, I'm a little attached to eating sweets. So one day I thought, let me do some austerity. Let me take some baby steps. So I thought one day, okay, today I will restrain from eating sweets. I said, let me start taking baby steps. So in the morning, I didn't have any sweets, anything, nothing. So in the afternoon, there was a particular satsang program. So I had gone there. So some devotee after the program made a very nice prasadam plate for me, you know, puri, sabjis, paneer sabji, rice and everything. And he put sweet rice also, condensed sweet rice, you know, on the plate. And he brought it to me, Prabhuji, plate for you made. And when I saw the plate, you know, fantastic it was looking. And the sweet rice, you know, God, it was like a feast for the eyes and the stomach. But then I told myself, God, Srivas Thakur, today you have decided, you know, you're not going to eat sweets today. So I thanked that Prabhuji. Prabhuji, thank you so much, you made this plate for me. And then I told that Prabhuji, I will give this plate to someone. I will take some little few items today. And I thanked that Prabhuji again. And I gave my made plate to someone else. And I personally took an empty plate and I stood in the line. It was a buffet system. So I personally stood in line with an empty plate and the devotees who were serving puri, sabji, rice, I took. And the sweet rice, the devotee who was serving sweet rice, he was last. So I purposely did not go there. So I was happy I got all these items. Then the devotees were sitting on a line to honor the prasadam. So I went and sat in the line also. I kept my plate down. I sat. It was Gayatri time. So I closed my eyes and started doing Gayatri, you know. And as I opened my eyes after Gayatri, I saw someone put sweet rice again in my plate. So, and the sweet rice, this time double someone has put, you know. And the sweet rice, God, it was made of condensed, you know, such condensed. And there was saffron in it and, you know, God. So, I was thinking, you know, I was trying to avoid all this time the sweet rice. And the devotees around me, they were honoring and saying, Prabhuji, cast sweet rice here, you know, all this. So, I was thinking, I was trying to tell my Lord, I don't know if you have some special plan for me today, you know. So sometimes we try a lot, but the Lord has some special higher plan for us, you know. So sometimes we have to adapt ourselves for that Lord's higher plan. But obviously, we should not give up doing austerity, you know. Austerity, yeah. Whatever that higher plan of the Lord, we should keep on attempting to do austerity in spiritual life, you know. Then, in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 11, verse number 48, in the purport, Prabhupada writes a very beautiful thing. Prabhupada writes, one cannot have the divine vision without becoming divine. What a beautiful statement. I repeat again. One cannot have the divine vision without becoming divine. And how do we become divine? Again. We become divine by seeing Krishna's divine hand in our lives. By seeing Krishna's divine plan in our lives. When if we see this, when we have this type of consciousness, then consciousness will always remain divine. And one of the qualities of being divine is that we have to be in the giving mode. We have to be in the giving mode. This is one of the divine qualities. In this context, I like to narrate a true thing once it happened. In the last Jagannath Puri Yatra, many senior Vaishnavas were there, you know. So Adhikesha Prabhu was also there. So I was just crossing and Adhikesha Prabhu happened to be there, one of the senior counselors. So I told Adhikesha Prabhu, Prabhuji, please pray for me to Lord Jagannath. Then immediately, you know, Adhikesha Prabhu is such a, you know, compassionate Vaishnava, you know, immediately closed his eyes and folded his hands and said, Lord Jagannath, I pray that may Srivas Thakur's preaching keep on increasing more and more. So I told Adhikesha Prabhu, Prabhuji, please pray that my consciousness remains protected. What did I tell Adhikesha Prabhu? I told Prabhuji, please pray that my consciousness remains protected. And Adhikesha Prabhu immediately said, Srivas, please remember one thing. The more you work to protect others' consciousness, to that degree, Krishna will protect your consciousness. What a beautiful thing. What did he say? He said, Srivas Thakur, the more you work on protecting others' consciousness, to that degree, Krishna will protect your consciousness. Wow. What a million-dollar statement, you know. I was so happy. I was floating in the air, you know. Already when you're in Jagannath Puri Yatra, you're a little floating. After hearing this statement, I was floating one more feet above air, you know. What a beautiful statement. It is the, you know, association of such Vaishnavas.
Say, you may have the biggest, most expensive diamond in the whole world. Huh? You may show this diamond to your relatives and friends, you know, just to show that, you know, I have something. But the real diamond are the Vaishnavas. The Sosajana Vaishnavas, they are the real diamond. You know, sometimes a person may have this big diamond and he is so much attached to it, you know, and after dying, full stop, that's it. In fact, if he is so attached to his diamond, he may have to take birth in that room of where the diamond is kept as an insect. Huh? But the Vaishnavas, they are the real true diamond. Huh? It is through the association of Vaishnavas that, you know, big problems like, you know, birth diseases, old age and that, you know, when we associate with Vaishnavas, in, you know, we may be destined to rotate in the cycle of birth and that for many lakhs of lives. But when we come in association of Vaishnavas, you know, it can be shortened just to just one life. What a miracle the association of Vaishnavas can do in our lives. Then, also in the process of bhakti, the Lord is very, very personal. Bhakti, the Lord is very, very personal with His devotees. In this context, I would like to narrate a story. In Jagannath Puri, there was a devotee, a very old Vaishnavi Mataji. Her name was Nandi Mata. Nandi Mata, when she went in the temple of Lord Jagannath, she saw that Lord Jagannath is being offered so many things, and especially Lord Jagannath was being offered so many sweets. And Nandi Mata, she worshipped Lord Jagannath in the Vatsalya Ras. She worshipped Lord Jagannath as a son Gopal. So Nandi Mata, she was seeing that Lord Jagannath is being given so many sweets, so many varieties of sweets. And as a loving mother, she thought, you know, if my son eats so many sweets, he will have stomach pain and his health will get spoiled. So Nandi Mata thought that, okay, from tomorrow, every day, I will bring a bitter saag preparation, which will help my son, that his stomach will be good and his health will be good. So the next day, Nandi Mata, she prepared some preparation of some bitter saag. In a very loving way she prepared it. And then she put it on a stone plate and covered with banana leaves. And she hid that under her sari. And she went in Lord Jagannath's temple. And from some corner of the temple, she offered Lord Jagannath this. And she would do this every day. And then one day, when she had made this preparation and she was walking into the temple Lord Jagannath, the watchman felt a little suspicious that Nandi Mata, the security person, the guard, he felt a little suspicious and stopped. Nandi Mata said, "Hey, stop. What are hiding underneath your sari? Show." And Nandi Mata showed it. Then the guard said, Who are you taking this for? Then Nandi Mata said, "I'm taking it for my son. Who's inside? Your son? Who's your son? It's Lord Jagannath." And this was above the, you know, above the head of the guard, you know. Then the guard said, "Don't you know you're not allowed to take anything into the Lord Jagannath's temple?" And he shouted at Nandi Mata and he took that offering and threw it. So Nandi Mata, you know, when she saw this, she was very broken hearted. Then she went in the house, she was just crying. And she lied down and crying, she fell asleep. Then that night, Nandi Mata had a vision. Two boys came to her vision. And both, one boy was a little blackish and one boy was whitish. And both of these boys were holding the stomach. And they were saying, "Mata, Mata, our stomach is paining, our stomach is paining. Today you did not give us that, your preparation every day you would bring. Huh? Our stomach is paining, why did not bring that preparation today?" Then Nandi Mata said, "What to do? I bought it, but that guard, he threw it." Then both the boys said, "Tomorrow again, please bring that preparation, otherwise the stomach will pain. Tomorrow, please bring it again." Nandi Mata said, "Okay." Then Lord Jagannath appeared in the dream of the head pujari that same night and to the king that same night and told both of them that tomorrow my very dear devotee Nandi Mata, she'll be bringing a preparation. Please allow her to come to the temple and offer it to me. Then the next morning, the king went immediately to Lord Jagannath temple and met the pujari. And both of them discussed, "Yes, we both had this dream." And both stood at the lion gate. The king, the head pujari and all the pandas are standing. "Who's this Nandi Mata? Who's this special soul of Lord Jagannath?" And as Nandi Mata came, and Nandi Mata did not know that Lord Jagannath has appeared in the dream of the pujari and the king. As Nandi Mata came near the lion gate, the king and the pujari asked, "Are you Nandi Mata?" She said, "Yes." And when she said, "Yes," the king, the pujari, and all the pandas offering the obeisances to Nandi Mata. It's a simple Mataji. It's too much for her. She's wondering what is happening. She's very embarrassed. Then the king and the pujaris, they tell, and they give Nandi Mata a royal reception. And Nandi Mata is very embarrassed. You know, a simple Vaishnava, they don't want all these hi-fi things, you know. They become very embarrassed when they're put into all these hi-fi things, you know. Because their heart is very simple. So Nandi Mata, she was given this royal reception and brought in the temple with the king and the head pujari around. And she was requested, "Please make your offering." And Nandi Mata made this offering. And the king made an order that every day Nandi Mata should come in the temple and offer this bitter sag preparation for the lordships. And no one should in any way be an obstruction. And every day Nandi Mata would come to the temple and offer this offering to the Lord. And this continued for many time, for a long, long time. And then Nandi Mata became old, and when she left her body and went to the spiritual abode, the king made a law that this bitter sag preparation, even though Nandi Mata is no more there, this bitter sag preparation should continue every day to be offered to the Lord. And to this day also, every day, this bitter sag preparation is offered to the Lord. And this bitter sag preparation is called Nandi Mata Pitta Saga. To this very day, it is offered every day in the memory of Nandi Mata. So the Lord is very, very personal. And I know our heart is very, very personal to the Lord. And when you're talking of bhakti, when you're talking of service to the Lord, when talking of Krishna's plan for us, when you're talking that whatever happens in life, we should see it as Krishna's plan, Krishna's hand. And so when you talk of Asat's devotional principles, Indradumna Maharaj, who is Srila Prabhupada's senior sannyasi disciple, he made once a very nice statement. He made the statement. He said, "Krishna's mercy is greater than our disqualification." I repeat again. "Krishna's mercy is greater than our disqualification." Wow. What a statement. Huh? When I heard this, very hope-giving statement. We analyze, we know so much anarthas are there in our heart. We are so much struggling to get up in the morning. When you are chanting, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna." We doze off, sleep, again get up. Struggling, sometimes in the lecture, in the Bhagavatam, we are hearing some class and again get up, you know, again, again get up. We are struggling so much, with so much anarthas, so many things we are struggling. We think, "God, back to Godhead, naam tu suna hai, jayega ki nahi jayega," you know, sometimes we doubt. Seeing our state, seeing our condition, we doubt, you know, Delhi, kitna Delhi dur, you know. But this statement, such a hope-giving statement. And in this context, I would like to tell you a story. Once, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, once he was in Shantipur, and he was going to Jagannath Puri. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so, so eager to see Lord Jagannath. He was not only walking fast, he was literally running. In that eagerness, was running to Jagannath Puri to see Lord Jagannath. And his disciples, his associates, they could not catch up with Lord Chaitanya, you know. So they were left way behind. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was way ahead. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was on his way to Jagannath Puri, he was coming across a village. And in that village, just on the outskirts of the village, there was a pond. And there was a washerman, Dhobi, you know. He had all his clothes and he was washing. There was a pond and there was a big rock. With his clothes, he was banging on the rock. Boom, 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 and washing the clothes. And as he was washing the clothes, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was crossing. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to this washerman. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was trying to get the attention of this washerman. But this washerman was purposely avoiding Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu even got down on his knees and was trying to get the attention of this washerman. This washerman was thinking, you know, this person in saffron, he's a beggar. If he gets my attention, then he will ask something from me. Better don't give him my attention, you know. So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu touched him. Because he was ignoring Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu finally touched him. And Chetmal told him, can I ask you something? He was still ignoring. Chetamu was begging, please, can I ask you something? Then this washerman said, Kisi, I'm very busy. I have so much clothes to wash. If I don't wash them, then you know, my income will get dwindled and my whole family is depending on me. So he just kept on washing his clothes. Boom, boom, boom. You know, banging the clothes on the rug. Then Chetamu told him this, Dhobi, please, I beg of you one thing. I beg of you that just once, please chant the name of Hari. That washerman, you know, just ignoring Chetamu, he was thinking, you know, that if I chant Hari once, then he'll ask me for money. So he was avoiding chanting Hari once also. He was ignoring Chetamu. Chetamu was keeping on begging him, please, I beg of you, at least once, chant the name of Hari. Chetamu was repeatedly begging, and you know, but Chetamu, with his compassionate nature, you know, then this Dhobi, he was feeling little bad, you know, that this sannyasi is begging me so much. Then Chetamu, but still, this washerman was still not paying attention to Chetamu. Then this washerman told Chetamu, see, if I chant the name of Hari, it will be an obstruction in my washing these clothes, you know, then I will not have, you know, I have very limited time. So I can't take the name of Hari. I have to wash so many clothes. Then Chetamu tells the Dhobi, do one thing. I will wash all your these clothes so that you will have time to chant the Hari. I will wash all your these clothes. But please you chant the name of Hari. Then this washerman, he felt very embarrassed. You know, kuch to India mein born karne ka, kuch to, you know, some past thing was in his heart, you know. So he felt very embarrassed that Chetamu was sannyasi is telling him that I have washed your clothes, but you chant the name of Hari. Then this washerman tells Chetamu, okay, I will listen to you, but only once. I will chant the name of the Lord only once, okay? Chetamu says, yes, chant only once. Then the Dhobi says, Hari. Then Chetamu became very happy. Then Chetamu told the Dhobi, please chant a second time also. Then the Dhobi, when he saw the effulgent, the compassionate face of Chetamu, he said, okay, Hari, the second time also he chanted. Then Chetamu begged him, please chant the name of Hari a third time. And this beggar, you know, he said, he again chanted Hari. And when he chanted Hari the third time, something happened to his heart. After the third time, he just chanted Hari, Hari, he was just chanting Hari, Hari, Hari. Tears were coming out from his eyes. His head was standing on end. And like a madman, he was chanting, he was dancing and chanting, Hari, 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 Hari. He forgot all about his washing clothes, you know. And Chetamu was just standing and seeing this beautiful sight. And after some time, this Dhobi's wife comes. You know, with the dabba, you know, a Vedic wife, you know. It was afternoon time. And this Dhobi's wife with the lunch prasad is coming towards that pond. And as she's nearing the pond, she's seeing someone shouting from distance, Hari, Hari, and dancing. She was wondering who she is. And as she comes closer, she's saying, Hari, this is my husband only. And she comes closer, she sees the husband dancing and chanting, Hari, 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 you know. And the husband is not even looking towards the direction of the wife. Wife, she never saw her husband this way. Wife was became a little scared. Wife thought, kahin bhoot to nahi ghus gaya mere husband ke andar. Wife was thinking, kahin ghost has entered my husband's body or what? She became very scared. She immediately ran to the village nearby and she started telling everyone, Hare, it looks like a ghost has entered my husband's body. Please come help him out, help him out. The whole village assembled near that Dhobi. The whole village is seeing this Dhobi. Chanting and dancing, Hari, 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 you know. So all the village was thinking, kya, such mein kuch bhoot ghus gaya, you know. They were thinking, kuch chota bhoot nahi, kuch bada bhoot ghus gaya, you know. Some big ghost has entered him, you know. So everyone was a little scared to go near him. But the Dhobi's immediate neighbor, he was very friendly to the Dhobi, you know. The Dhobi's immediate neighbor, he was a very good friend of the Dhobi. This friend thought, okay, let me do something. Let me try to do something. So slowly, slowly he's going near this Dhobi friend, you know. And slowly, slowly he's going and he touches his Dhobi friend. As he touches, a spiritual shock. This friend also starts shouting, Hari, 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 Hari. And he's dancing like a madman, shouting, Hari, Hari, Hari. And he's immediately running towards the village and he's touching everyone. And whoever he touches, they also start shouting, Hari, Hari, and they go in ecstasy. Tears coming from their eyes and their heads are standing around. Whole village is shouting, Hari, 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 and dancing in ecstasy. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the distance, he's seeing this whole thing. And he's just smiling, you know. And after some time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates are coming. And as they come, when they're crossing this village, they see this is an extraordinary village. Everyone in this village, with the arms raised, is chanting, Hari, Hari, and dancing madly. And they saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in a distance, just standing, observing this. Then all the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they were weeping in their heart, seeing this mercy and compassion of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They were just, their hearts were just weeping in ecstasy, seeing this compassion of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we are very, very fortunate. When we chant the name of Hari, we may not go in ecstasy, but have hope. One day, definitely, we will dance in ecstasy. If not in this material world, sometime in the spiritual world, definitely dance in ecstasy, chanting the name of Hari. We should have that faith. Yeah? We are very, very fortunate that we have got the holy name. We have got this devotional process. Ek din aayega, we will achieve our object and our supreme perfection, love of Godhead. So, Hare Krishna. So, we'll end here. The time is up. So, there are just maybe 2-3 minutes. If someone has any questions or any comments to make, we'll be happy. So, there are no questions. So, thank you for giving a very patient hearing to the class. Thank you. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
सागर पर आपने रहना पड़ा।